Well, good morning. I think everyone here, at least right now, knows me, but I am Abigail Johnson, if you don't. And I'm going to be sharing my testimony today with a special focus on how God has worked in me to bring freedom from fear and anxiety, specifically. So, if we can get the next slide. I kind of picked this as the theme verse for my testimony. Sorry. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Next slide. Okay. All right, so just a brief family background. I know a couple of my siblings have done testimonies and gone into more detail, so I'll be brief. But I am number 6 out of 8 children. That's an old picture of my family there. If you can't tell, I'm 2nd to farthest to the right in the purple dress. So just a little bit about my family. I was raised in a very small church with mostly other large families. We were homeschooled, and then our church was pretty conservative, believed in the gifts of the Spirit, but definitely leaned more on the legalistic side. I don't know exactly how to put it, but there was a strong emphasis on outward appearance and presenting yourself as, you know, a good Christian, so to speak. So that definitely affected my thought processes as I grew up. And then as being the 6th out of 8 children, I was towards the younger end, but there's also the biggest age gap between me and my younger sister. So there was a weird, like, being kind of the middle, kind of the youngest part of the family. And I also have a lot of siblings with stronger personalities than myself, so I tended to kind of blend into the background a little bit, which was fine with me for the most part, but it also is relevant. And then I just wanted to briefly go over my salvation. I don't believe it was one moment, since I was raised with a good knowledge of the Bible, and there wasn't really a point where I didn't believe that I was a Christian, but there was a moment when I made that, say, official decision, which was when I was 7 years old. What led up to it was actually my older sister, Christiana, giving her life to the Lord, and I noticed that she seemed really happy, and it was a good thing, clearly, and the whole family was excited about it, and I was like, you know what? I should do that too. But I did it just on my own, and we were at my grandma's house. She lived out in the country, so I was just walking outside, and I just prayed a simple prayer of, you know, Jesus, come into my heart. I give my life to you. And then shortly after, continued praying, but asked God for horses because, you know, that was something I wanted. But yeah, it wasn't anything huge. It was just a momentary decision. I don't know if I even told anyone about it. Maybe my mom shortly after, but yeah, that was, you'd say, my decision. But I just grew from there. Definitely started out with a pretty simple faith, but had some misunderstandings about the gospel. Again, growing up in a church that had a little more focus on, like, outward appearance and not a big emphasis on, like, the continued grace of God working in our lives. I had more this idea of I needed to do all the work to grow in my faith, and that if I messed up, that was on me, and I it just started to create some patterns of feeling like a failure whenever I made mistakes and wanting to just kind of hide that and cover it up, and instead of learning to, you know, just repent and move on with the grace of God. And then moving on to some of my early fears and how God helped me with those. When I was young, I had a lot of fears, mainly at nighttime. I had bad dreams, and then I would wake up and be scared for a while afterwards. I had ongoing dreams about natural disaster type things, like tornadoes, house fires, things like that. Things that, you know, could happen, but it's not that likely. But I would wake up and I would be just irrationally afraid of it. I would usually go to my mom whenever that happened. Just go to my parents' bedroom, and my mom would pray with me and talk to me and help me calm down. But my mom especially really helped me to learn to use scripture to combat that. I don't remember specific verses, but I know there was one about like the angels surrounding you. I think it's in the Psalms, and just verses like that. And I was able to use visualization as well to help. So I would, like, as I was laying in bed in the dark, just picture angels surrounding me, or just God's protective hand over me. And that helped a lot. Some of my dreams also were of, like, wild creatures. It wasn't always dreams. I would have this random fear that, like, a raccoon was going to get in the house and come and bite me or something like that. Like, really just random things. I actually had some dreams, I believe, were from the Lord that helped combat some of my fears. One was, in my dream, I got bitten by a snake. And, you know, in dreams, sometimes you feel some sort of pain when things like that happen. But in this dream, I felt nothing. Like, it just didn't feel like anything. And I wasn't scared in the dream. And I was like, oh, that's not that bad. And it actually helped to reassure me a little bit. But also, one thing that I do believe helped a lot was my parents actually had a time, just the two of them. Like, I wasn't even present for the prayer, but they prayed specifically over me and like used spiritual warfare to really pray over my fears. And I do know, I don't remember exactly when that was, but there was definitely a marked difference in my fear after that. So we can move on to the next slide. Oh, the bottom two pictures, I selected two things that I never was afraid of, and that was horses and climbing trees. I loved climbing trees. The next slide. So my early teens, the first thing I wanted to touch on was growing closer to God. And during this time, particularly when I was around 12 years old, I really had some growth in my relationship with God. Just felt the call of God and more in my life to have a relationship with him, and just really started feeling God's presence more, enjoying time in the Word, time in prayer. And really throughout the fears that I struggled with and other things in my life, I really learned to rely on God early on. It became my reflex to pray whenever things were hard. So that was definitely a big part of my walk with the Lord. During this time, I had more increased fear of man. I was a very shy person, and that's partly just my personality. I've always been quiet. I don't necessarily have a lot to say. But part of it was also I was very afraid of what people would think of me if I said the wrong thing at the wrong time. I think I built kind of an identity around appearing like a really perfect little Christian girl. So developed kind of that as my identity, and I was afraid of doing anything that would damage that. I was also very afraid of failure in any way, so I was very sensitive to anyone correcting me about anything, because I was like, I should have known better. Like, I always felt like I should have known better beforehand instead of learning through mistakes, and so that caused even more fear of, you know, stepping out and doing the wrong thing. And then that also led to beginning anxiety as I internalized some of that, and I would overthink things that happened. I had pretty extreme social anxiety. I did not ever want to be in public alone. I would kind of hide behind my parents and my older sisters, and I just didn't want to have any interaction with strangers because I felt like, I don't know exactly what I was afraid of, but definitely afraid of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time or just not knowing what I was doing. I also had some what I'll call spiritual anxiety that started forming, and that stemmed from the idea of just needing to always do the right things. And I felt like if I didn't, then, oh, I'm not a good Christian. Like, I'm going to, you know, not be close to God because I'm making these mistakes. And so I was very afraid of sinning. And, like, when I did, it led to a lot of shame as I just didn't know how to just repent and move on. Instead, it was like, oh, I did this thing. It was horrible. And it would just go on and make me more anxious about it. I just included a picture with a couple of my horses because horses are one of my great passions in life, still is. But
those are two different
horses. Those are. They look very similar. The top one is Shyla. The bottom one is Prince. Trust me, I even sometimes mix them up just seeing them out in the pasture together. But yes, they are two different horses.
Same lineage?
No, no, not related, not at all. What was that?
Is he the horse
Shiloh,
or
known
as a horse prince?
No. The bottom one, Prince, though, he was the sweetest horse I think I've ever owned, and he was a great comfort whenever I was having a rough day. He was very cuddly and very soft, and I could just go out and just wrap my arms around him and bury my face in him, and yeah, it was a great comfort when I was having a hard time. And then the top one, Shyla, I had her the longest, about 9 years, well, besides Sassy the miniature. And she taught me a lot because she was a harder horse to get to know and to earn trust. She was very standoffish initially. And so we slowly formed a really close bond, and that was very special as well. Not usually, no. Sydney's asking if I got bit or kicked by horses when I was first getting to know them. Not really. You can go on to the next slide. Alrighty. Late teens led me to GCF. So when I was 17, my dad actually was looking for a new church and initially came to GCF, and what really led me to come as well was the change that I saw in my dad. He had been fairly depressed for a little while, and after he started coming to GCF a few times, he was suddenly like seemed really happy and excited, and I was like, oh, wow, this must be a cool place. I should try it out. So I started visiting early that year. I went started initially coming to some of the RCF Bible studies and then coming on Sundays. And over that summer, started coming full time. And then that was a big thing in my life for sure. I had some major paradigm shifts. Just really learned a lot more about grace and had learned a bigger picture of it because, you know, I knew grace as like, you know, God's unmerited favor or whatever that brings you to Christ. But I didn't really know much or hadn't experienced much of God's ongoing grace that we need it in everyday life. And so that was a big thing, like, oh, like, wow, this grace, it's huge, and it can affect everything in my life. And then also just learning to see the Bible as a big picture was really helpful for me. I grew up very familiar with the Bible. We were encouraged to read the whole Bible from a young age, and I had done that a couple of times at this point, I believe. But I didn't really understand how to like see word pictures in the Bible, really see the types of Christ that are throughout the Bible. So the RCF Bible studies in particular really taught me a lot about that. And then just the community here made a huge difference in my life. This was the first place where I just felt like I grew up with a couple of close friends, and that was pretty much it. But suddenly at GCF, I had all of these people who just wanted to get to know me and were welcoming, and the most friends I had ever had in my life was at GCF, and particularly in RCF, we became a close community. I keep saying RCF, realize I didn't say that stands for Rock Campus Fellowship. Some people might not be familiar because it doesn't exactly exist anymore, but it was the college campus outreach at Wright State at that time. I really, like I said, for the first time I had a group of friends that I really like just felt comfortable with, and I felt like they were extremely gracious to me, like kept pushing to be my friend even when I was shy and like didn't have much to say, and I just started to really open up and feel more comfortable. So during this time I definitely had a increased social confidence and like started to really talk to people in groups for the first time, although I'm sure as many of you say I was still very quiet at the beginning. Still kind of am. But even though I had that increased confidence when I was with the group, I still had anxiety that mainly would hit me afterwards. So like the end of the night after I had been at an RCF meeting or a Friday night fellowship, I would just start to overthink every single interaction I had. Like, oh, I said something dumb, didn't I? And it just would like replay in my mind over and over again. And so I had some increased anxiety in that area. But over time, I think that just naturally dissipated, both with just more experience being in the community, continuing to receive that grace over and over again. And just God working in my life through all the things I was learning. I also went to college during this time. So I actually started college while I was still in high school at Sinclair through the College Credit Plus program. So that was definitely a stretch for my social skills and confidence, as it was the first time I'd really been on my own with nobody I knew in a new situation. So that helped me to learn to really speak up and have take more initiative, especially once I went to school for veterinary technology, so I'm a vet tech. Once I got into the actual program of that, they have you do your gen eds first and then get into the year-long program, which includes clinical practice as well. In my clinicals, I really had to learn to take more initiative. You get a kind of a review from each of your clinical sites, and the one thing that every single one of them said was, she needs to speak up and take initiative. And so I remember one time my instructor took me aside and was like, hey, like, what can I do to help you to do this more? And so it was hard, but I learned to actually like put myself into situations more and be like, hey, I can do this. And so that really helped me to grow. I put a couple pictures on here. One is the top is with a group from RCF going on a hike. So that was one of our typical social activities. And during this time also, developed my first major crush, who is the handsome fellow just a couple to my right. Robbie and I actually had crushes on each other almost immediately after a meeting, but since I was so shy, it took a very long time for us to start talking and really getting to know each other. But that was a wonderful beginning during that time. And then the bottom picture is me at one of our large animal practicums in school. So it was goat day, and that was a lot of fun. All right, so we can go to the next slide. So I just wanted to touch on my baptism in the Holy Spirit. This kind of backs up a little bit because it has a couple of steps to it, which actually I didn't realize until later. But my baptism in the Holy Spirit really was a process. It was not one moment, and it actually gave me a lot of more, I had more peace in like the whole process once I realized it was a process and not a moment, and I'll get into that. But I had an early experience that I believe was my initial baptism in the Holy Spirit, looking back. So in the church I grew up in, there were gifts of the Spirit were practiced, like there would be people prophesying and speaking in tongues like in church, so I was very exposed to it. But there wasn't a lot of teaching about, like, how you receive it. It was just, like, pray and ask God, and that was, like, it. So I really had no knowledge of how to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. But my initial experience with this was, I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was probably 13 or 14, and there was a very stressful family situation going on, and I've always been very sensitive to the emotions of others, and so it was a very hard time for me. I was extremely overwhelmed, and I went outside, and I was crying and praying, and like, God, I need you, I need more of you, because this is hard, and I don't know what to do. And I just felt like a huge peace wash over me. And it was just like a moment that really made me feel closer to God. And when I mentioned it to my mom afterwards, she was like, that kind of sounds like the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or like something similar, like you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I did take that to heart, but I didn't really understand like how that indwelling of the Holy Spirit can lead to the gifts of the Spirit. And so I also had this experience probably a couple years later where I was walking around outside. You may notice that a lot of these experiences happen outside. I've always felt a connection to God through nature and just being in his creation. But so that was special for me. Anyways, I was walking around outside, and I was just worshiping and praying, and I was just like, God, I love you, and I want to, like, express it somehow, but I don't know how. And I just started singing, but I, like, wasn't singing words that I knew. I thought that I was singing random syllables and just making up a tune as I went. So I had never heard of singing in the Spirit or anything like that. Like, I literally just thought I was making stuff up, but in my mind, it was praising to God. So fast forward to being at GCF and learning more about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think Melody had just gone through the baptism in the Holy Spirit series with Deanna, and then Deanna had asked me, hey, do you want to go through this too? And I said, sure, sounds cool. So she went through the series with me, and then at the same time, I believe, Greg was also doing a sermon series, so I got a really in-depth overview of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Particularly helpful to me was the part that went over all of the instances in the book of Acts about people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and just how it was a very normal thing for Christians in the early church to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues. And so I started to realize, like, hey, okay, that sounds like something that I want to experience. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And so I got prayed for, and I don't remember a ton of details about the prayer, like exactly what was said during it or whatever, but I do know that it was really cool, and that I just felt surrounded by people who cared about me and just wanted to pray for me, and so that was really amazing. But the actual prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit seemed anticlimactic for me. I was able to open my mouth and start speaking through the Spirit, but I had doubt with it almost immediately, and I realized why later, because what I started speaking sounded very similar to those random syllables I was singing when I was younger. I was like, these sound like the same thing. I must still be making it up. Which that actually took me quite a bit later to really connect the dots and be like, oh, I was actually singing in the Spirit back then. So I did have that initial doubt, but I had a talk with somebody. It's all a little bit vague. It may have been Deanna. It may have been my mom. It was something that just like reassured me to trust the Holy Spirit and to just keep trying to pray in tongues and just practicing that. And I started to feel more and more peace and like, okay, this is a God. And I was able to do that more. So yeah, that was my baptism of the Holy Spirit experience. I decided to add this verse as well. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And that just kind of pulls everything together too, as my theme is kind of freedom, and the Spirit really is a bringer of that freedom. And then there was a couple verses I meant to go over earlier that I'll kind of stick in here that just kind of reflect my early relationship with the Lord and growth. The first one is Philippians 1, verse 6. This verse I remember being a comfort to me when I was probably in my early teens and I had some of that like spiritual anxiety and just feeling like I couldn't, I realized that I couldn't do the Christian life just on my own and my own strength. And so this verse, it says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This was really reassuring to me that like God is the one doing the work in me and he will bring it to pass. And then the second one, Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One thing that this verse helped me to learn was as I grew my faith, my walk with the Lord, there was often times where I just felt like I was stuck, and you know, there was something I was struggling with that just, it was hard to get through. And this verse reminded me that included in all the things, nor anything else in all creation that can separate us from the love of God, included in that is myself, that I can't actually get in the way of God's love for me. And so that was a great comfort for me. We can go on to the next slide. I kind of condensed a lot into this, but my early 20s to now, obviously one of the major things that happened in that time was getting married to the love of my life, Robbie Johnson. And the pictures I picked are kind of bookends, our wedding day, and then the second picture is from earlier this year. We have been married now for 5 years, and in the picture, I already knew that we were expecting our first child. So marriage has been a very wonderful thing in my life. I am so thankful that God brought us together. And then I'll just go over some things during this time period where God really helped me through some tough hurdles. The first one was my early work experience. So I graduated in 2019 with my vet tech degree, and then after a couple months off, started my first job at a vet clinic. And that job was a very toxic place, and took me too long to fully realize that because it was my first work experience in this field. So created a lot of stress and anxiety in my life as my bosses were very micromanaging and demanded perfection, which did make me have to learn very quickly how to do my job and do it well. But it was extremely stressful. There was a lot of pressure on me in particular, as I was the only registered technician there for most of the time that I was working there. So a lot of responsibilities fell on me, but then I also was the first one to get blamed if anything went wrong. There was a lot of hours. There was warding, so I was expected to be there over the weekend taking care of animals. And then there was just things that happened there that were very tough. And because I was so busy, everything just kind of got buried down and suppressed during that time. And so some things didn't affect me until later. One thing that brought up a lot of that was, this was spring of 2020, I had pneumonia. It may have been COVID, I don't know, because they didn't really have a lot of testing at that time. But I had the walking pneumonia, so I was still working for most of it, which I should not have been, but I had a very bad cough, and it led to a lot of shortness of breath, and there was times when I just really felt like I couldn't breathe. And this was the first time I ever experienced having a panic attack, and so there was a few times where I was just like, I can't breathe, and just completely like had a meltdown over it. Robbie was very supportive during this time. We were already in a relationship then, and he really helped to just help me to calm down. He always provided a very safe place for me, so it was very helpful. And then over this time, I can't remember exactly the exact steps that led to this. A lot of my memory is a little fuzzy from this time because I realize now there was a lot of trauma that just made me kind of bury everything. But I do know that the Lord really used these experiences to bring me closer to Him, and I started to experience more freedom from that anxiety, and just came to more of a realization of like, oh, this workplace is not a good place, and you know, all the pressure I'm feeling to do perfect at my job, and you know, all this stress, it's not necessary. I can work in a place that's not like this. And so I was able to find my current job later in 2020, and that was huge for me. I was suddenly surrounded by not only several more experienced techs who could take me under their wing and really support me, but the environment was completely different. Everyone was just, you know, supportive and wanting to help me learn if I made a mistake, instead of it like, oh, you made a mistake, you're horrible, it was like, okay, we can learn from this, like, let's help you, you know, what can we do to support your learning, and, you know, it's okay. So that was definitely important for me. Let's see. So the following year, 2021, was when we got married, which was a very exciting, wonderful time. In the next couple of years, I hesitate to call it a dry season, but it kind of was. I think it was partially a slowing down of, like, the very fast, rapid growth that happened when I first came to GCF. There was just, like, you know, a ton of paradigm shifts, a ton of, like, you know, oh, I'm in a wonderful community, and then everything just kind of, like, slowed down. Everything was more sinking in. But during this time, I did, I think, start to be affected more by some worldly influences that I let creep in. Like, I was working with a bunch of people that I really enjoyed working with, but I let them probably influence me more than I should, of, like, you know, the things that the media was consuming, like, getting really into, you know, just scrolling on social media, and, like, I was very interested in learning about different worldviews, but I didn't always look at those worldviews through a good, solid lens of what I really believed. I wouldn't say I had a shaking of my faith, really, but there was just a time where I didn't have good focus on the Lord and Scripture, and just kind of strained my focus, I think, is the main thing. And then during this time, I also had another stressful period at work, and just a lot of other circumstances in my life. And where I had experienced freedom from anxiety in the past, it suddenly just came back on me. And I started to experience some physical responses to anxiety. I was having, like, just, like, kind of stomach cramps and tightness and shakiness and things like that. And I finally was like, okay, this is, something's not right. I should not be feeling anxious. I've already experienced a lot of freedom in this area. So I actually had a talk with Deanna, which was extremely helpful. And it was kind of just, she spoke to me very bluntly in a way that I really needed it at that time. And the gist of it was, like, I really don't need to be anxious. Like, I have all the tools I need to overcome this. And it really boils down to Jesus is Lord over my life, not my emotions, not all these other things that are surrounding me. And just shifting that mindset a little bit helped immensely. And I was able to start to really grow closer to the Lord again and kind of recenter my life. So that was a big thing for me. Also, shortly after that, actually, I started having chronic migraines, which many of you know about and have been praying for me throughout that time. So I had a very tough about year and a half of very consistent headaches. And I am glad to say that has eased up a lot in the last several months. But that really, it brought me to my knees again, really. It brought me back to what I had learned prior of, like, just relying on the Lord completely, because I could not get through a day or a week of constant migraines without just completely relying on God. And so it was hard, but I'm very grateful for what the Lord did through my life in that. I also, during this time, got diagnosed with POTS, which is a It's a nervous system dysregulation thing. It's a little hard to explain in brief terms, but basically it was a major part of a lot of my symptoms over the past many years. I believe I've had it since I was young. But it chronically leads to a lot of fatigue, and I am suspicious that my migraines were also connected to it. But one thing in particular that learning about it helped me with was I would sometimes have symptoms that felt like anxiety, like my heart was racing, I felt tense, but I could not pinpoint anything that I was actually anxious about. And so once I learned about POTS, that causes those symptoms. And so that was able to help me mentally to just differentiate, like, oh, I'm not actually anxious right now. This is just, this is my body and, you know, the illness affecting it. And so that helped me to have more freedom from anxiety, just because that feeling of anxiety would cause anxiety. And it was just a kind of a vicious cycle. So being able to recognize that those feelings were not always actually my emotions helped me to grow further in just being more emotionally regulated. So that's another thing that the Lord did in my life. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on was when I first found out that I was pregnant, we were not trying to get pregnant, so it was a little bit of a shock. And it took a little bit to sink in. And I was, of course, very happy initially. But as soon as it, like, fully sank in, I did start to have some anxiety of, like, oh, what if I lost the baby? And, you know, as many of you know, there have been a lot of miscarriages in our church. And so it was very fresh in my mind. And I had feelings of both, like, you know, am I, like, why did I get to get pregnant so easily when others have struggled and I've had losses? And then also, like, you know, if it happened to them, it could happen to me. And was very anxious for a few days. But the Lord really spoke to me in this time, just, like, asked me, do you trust me? Like, do you trust that I know what I'm doing? And so when I was able to give that up and be like, yeah, I do. I trust you, and whatever your plan is, it will be the best for my life, and that really helped ease that anxiety, so I'm thankful for that. That is really all that I had, so if we have a little time for questions, we can do so. Lily, you have a question?
Did you ride any horses?
Lily asked if I rode any horses. Yes, I riding horses was a very big part of my life. It still is. Been riding since I was 7 and still do. So, yes.
How many horses do you have?
She asked, how many horses do I have? I do not currently own any horses. So one of the horses pictured in that last slide, Shyla, she was one of the last horses that I had, and she passed away in 2020. So that was one of, I forgot to mention, that was one of the added stresses during that year, was just dealing with that grief. Probably the first, it was the first loss that I'd had that was just very close to me. So that was a lot to process. But yeah, so I have not owned horses since that year, but I have been blessed with many opportunities to ride and spend time with horses since then. So, very thankful. Sydney?
I'm going to restore your husband. I'm on the bus here, but what ways has Ravi provided safe space for you during your darker periods of your life?
Specifically, how has Ravi provided safe places for me during our relationship? Yes. So really, Robbie has just been my rock. He's always, he's never, judge me for my having emotions, having struggles, and just has always been willing to listen to me. And even when I'm speaking very irrationally in the moment through my emotions, has always been very patient and gracious with me, and very good at leading me back to the Lord and reminding me to trust him in everything. So very thankful for that. See him?
So I know you talked about like the Holy Spirit series, but do you mm-hmm. have any other like materials, like books or podcasts or anything that have kind of helped you over the years?
Specifically with the Holy Spirit or just in general? Okay, so Sam asked if there was resources other than the Holy Spirit series that really helped me in my walk with the Lord. So I mentioned learning more about reading the Bible as a big picture and learning about word pictures and types of Christ, things like that. The book Through New Eyes by James Jordan was extremely helpful for that. We did a book study with the Paramalas, and that book, like every chapter just was like, wow, this is amazing. Like it just helped me learn so much about all the pictures that are throughout the Bible that point to Christ. Kind of tied into my love for nature too. I remember one chapter was like all about trees, and it was like, wow, trees just like point to Christ in so many different ways, and this is so amazing. So that was a big one. With eschatology, I read the Eschatology of Victory, and it was helpful informationally, but there was another book, Paradise Restored. I don't remember the author. That one,
David Chilton,
thank you. That book really helped me to see how, like, God is really victorious in everything, and it's just amazing how, like, throughout history, he has just been working in the world to bring restoration, and just made me so excited about what God will do in the future. So that one was really helpful as well. I don't have any other books coming to mind at the moment, but those are all good ones. Lily?
What's a good reason why trees are pointing to Christ?
Oh, that's a very good question. Lily asked me a good reason why trees point to Christ. So now I'm going to have to rack my memory and remember exactly what we talked about in that book. I know one of the good ones is like from Psalm 1, where it says the godly man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in its season. And I remember just talking about like roots, like how they retrieve water and provide strength and actually, that reminds me of something in my, more personal in my testimony that I did want to share. This was during one period of prayer, or I think it may have been a repeated picture. The prayer over my headaches, I know, brought it up, but there may have been another time too. God has really used a picture of a tree or a large rock, just like very deeply rooted, planted in place, despite winds buffeting around or anything like that, just to remind me that God has really planted me firmly and nothing can move me. But that's one way that trees point to God, is just that depth of root that both brings in water, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit as well, and just stands firm through storms and other things. Sydney?
Since I know you and Melly have a lot of similarities, you've been more interested.
introvert, more shy, more fine talking people, large kind of tricky in them. But obviously, that's changing as a whole in general. But have you found specific influences that have come alongside you to help with that, whether it's abrupt family members, or just books you've read, or just main course you've taken, or just things? What's helped you become more functionally extroverted? Where you mentioned your job helping a lot.
So Sydney asked about, since I'm naturally quite introverted, and I mentioned that I had struggles with social anxiety, what really helped me to with those social interactions and becoming more extroverted, so to speak. I would say a lot of it was just practice of just being around, like I mentioned, with being in part of the GCF community, being around people who just gave me so much grace to stumble over my words. And, you know, I used to blush really, really easily. So if you said anything that slightly embarrassed me, I would just blush. And a lot of people just were very good at completely ignoring that, which made me feel more comfortable. So a lot of it was just like practice and being around people that really extended grace to me. But one thing that helped me just in social situations in general, especially like going out in public, because I was like really afraid of just going to the store by myself for some reason. But one thing that helped me was just to realize that most adults actually don't have everything together. Really, we're all just kind of winging it. But yeah, that actually helped me a lot to just be like, oh, I'm not the only one who struggles with this stuff, so I can give myself a little more grace. Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for this chance to share what you have done in my life, and I pray that it has been a blessing to everyone. I thank you that we can come together to worship you and fellowship together this morning, and I just pray that you would bless the worship and the sermon and all of our fellowship today. In your name I pray. Amen.